الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, Allah Ta'ala had blessed Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with a character that was most magnificent, most magnanimous, a man that was accessible, easygoing, a man that was lovable, and lovable not only to his friends, even to his enemies. Generally, people look down upon the Jews, rightfully or wrongfully. But the Jews within themselves, if they have a dispute, then the final recourse would be Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We will go by what he says. If it's a problem in property, etc., and they want a decision, they would go to Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If it is a problem concerning respect or some type of an indecent act and behavior, and they want a decision, they will go to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا. On the one end, they would hate the personality, but on the other end, they knew from within their hearts that what he's saying is nothing but the truth. Otherwise, there is no apparent reason that they would come to Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ask him to resolve the problems and the disputes between them. Then the kings and the monarchs, the superpowers of the day, the Hercules of the time, and he says about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if I were in his presence, then I would have the honor of carrying his shoes. Whether it is the Jew, whether he is the Christian, but within his heart, within his mind, he knows that this is the man of Allah, and it is my honor to be attributed to him. Hence, you can't find, history cannot produce a person like Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Man that is brand new into Islam, he comes and sits in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first impression is, wallahi ma ra'aytu mu'alliman arfaqa minhu sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I haven't seen a teacher that he is more gentle, more kind than Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brand new in Islam, he just come in, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had some interaction with him, and then this is the first impression. I haven't seen a teacher, I haven't seen a personality as gentle, as compassionate, as lovable as this person. Hazrat Jabir ibn Sulaym radiyallahu anhu, he comes into Medina Munawwara and he says that I had seen a personality, yasdurun nasu anhu, people are going up to him and whatever he says, they are embracing it and they are leaving. A piece of advice, some type of decision that he is passing, they embrace it with both hands and they are leaving. I saw this and I was also interested. I became overwhelmed when I saw the personality and I saw the discourses, the advices that he was giving and the type of responses that he was receiving. I felt that this person is genuinely God sent. So I also went up there and I greeted him, Salamun Alaik. So Rasulullah SAW corrected me. And he says, don't say Salamun Alaik, because Salamun Alaik is the salam that is to be extended after life, after death. Salamun Alaikum bima sabartum. In the hereafter, this will be the type of salam. Here you will say Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's a first impression, it's a first sitting with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's got no reservations, he doesn't feel that he was embarrassed by Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rather, he's taken it with so much of happiness that for the rest of the life, he explains the correction that he had received at the Mubarak hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, a normal person in this age and time, he feels embarrassed that he is corrected in a gathering, in a full gathering, and someone gave him a correction, so he feels very embarrassed about it. And here, there's no embarrassment. He feels the man has shown me respect. In fact, he brought me to the cause. Otherwise, if he had not brought me to the cause, I would have been living in disgrace and embarrassment for the rest of my life. So he showed me the right cause. I was moved with the personality. I was overwhelmed with his ways and mannerisms, his values. So I became even closer. My heart opened out even further. And then I asked him, Anta Rasulullah, are you really the Rasul of Allah? Rasulullah can understand from the person's tone that this person is sincere, he's earnest, he's looking out for the truth. So it was his duty thereafter to introduce him to Islam and give him the understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah explains to him that I am the Rasul of that Allah, that if you were struck in a drought, starvation, and you beseeched his help, he will be readily answering you. If you are in the middle of a desert and you have lost your conveyance, you have lost all your luggage, no apparent means for continuity and continuity of your life, and then you call him under those constraints and those conditions, then he will readily come to your assistance. So what Rasulullah was doing now was introducing him and giving him a recognition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, a person's commitment is proportionate to the recognition. Man sees the wife and he sees what she is doing for him, the compassion, the love, the service, the tolerance, the endurance, then he's prepared to do everything for her. Let's say, Bibi ka haq, and he'll take her for umrah, and everything he will do. Why will he do it? Because he sees the love, he sees the compassion, the cooperation, the endurance. So he's recognized her. When he's recognized her, then he wants to do everything for her. Hence, we will understand and we come to this conclusion that our commitment to Allah Ta'ala, loyalty, will be in proportion to our recognition of Allah Ta'ala. We recognize him, that we want to do for him. And to the extent that we haven't yet recognized him, then we won't have that level of loyalty. In the meanwhile, Rasulullah was also showing something else. That in this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let Allah ta'ala's love be unique and let it supersede everything else. His love must be above the love of everything. The dependence and the yaqeen that you will have on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be unparalleled. He is also teaching you that when you are asking and beseeching the help of Allah ta'ala, what should be the frame of the mind? A wife also will not want any type of partnership in her marriage. You love me and you love that woman as well. Make up your mind what you want. And you also have the same response towards her. You love me or you love that person. Make up your mind. I don't want a partnership in this. So Allah Ta'ala is also saying to us that when you have that yaqeen in me, let your sight be on me only. That I will make things happen. That I will make happen, and you've got your confidence in this property, that investment, that factory, etc., then this is not the way that you will beseech my help. When you want to beseech my help, then me and me alone. Your sight must be just upon me and nothing besides me. When you cannot tolerate it for your ordinary partner, that is not even responsible to bring you around, then how do you expect Allah Ta'ala to tolerate this, that you have got a partnership in your nazar and in your focus? Your focus must be just upon him. Yaqeen, your trust, your certainty, your confidence must be just on him, hopes must be just on him. The fights that take place, the disputes and misunderstanding, is on account of the same reason that we have hopes and expectations from people, from the wrong things we have, in the wrong things we have our expectations and our hopes, and eventually when those hopes do not materialize, then it ends up in a quarrel, it ends up in a dispute, it ends up in a misunderstanding. We had that expectation and the hopes and the wrong things. So Allah Pak wants that your hopes, your expectation is in me. Confidence is in me. Yaqeen is in me, nothing besides me. So he's given him the most perfect and the most comprehensive recognition towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now as the Jabir ibn Sulaym radiyallahu anhu says, now I became even more confident in the personality, because you first understand the person, get to sit with him, understand him, and as your confidence builds up, then you want to come closer and closer to the path that he is leading you. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, i'had ilayya. Give me some advice. Imagine the first sitting, a brand new person coming into Medina, the first encounter with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then his heart opens up like this. Obviously, it is a person that is magnificent, magnanimous. There aren't words to describe the personality. So he says, i'had ilayya. Give me some advice. So the first advice Nabi Sallam gives him is, don't swear anybody. Don't insult, don't swear. That's the first piece of advice Rasulullah Sallam shares with this person, that don't swear, don't insult anybody. Now this is such a great and such an important noble lesson, that don't swear, don't be vulgar. You'll be vulgar if you are aggressive. You'll be vulgar if you're not good at heart. The dirt of the heart sometimes comes onto the tongue. It was already stored up in the heart, and then when it piled up and it piled up and you couldn't take it any longer, then it had to come out. Somehow or the other it had to come out. So Nabi Sallam is telling, explaining him and advising him that la tasubba ahadan, don't ever swear anybody. Our style in this day and time is that when there is a problem, then each one comes to his own defense. To his own defense, to his person, the defense of his own personality, to the defense of his own institute, to the defense of his own business, or to the defense of his own interest. Now, what was the style of Rasulullah? What was his way? If there was any problem, if there was any situation, what was his style? As Ali radiallahu anhu reports, it's a lengthy hadith, but I will just give you the essence of the hadith because of time constraints. Okay, one person came in and he spoke to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam very aggressively, extremely aggressively. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala naturally felt very much affected. So he says, this person says that I began to look at the face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I also looked at the face of Nabi Umar radiallahu anhu. When I saw the face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, absolutely calm, composed, there was no anxiety on his face, no excitement. In spite of me speaking with such aggression, most aggressively, I treated him most aggressively, with the greatest aggression I had spoken to him. Then I look at Umar radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu becomes intolerable, he can't tolerate it. And when he can't tolerate it, and then Umar just blurts out and he says to him, enemy of Allah, if it were not for this personality that I respect, I would have killed you. Now look at the response of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's a situation, and look at the response of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and compare it with our responses. When there is a dispute, there is a problem, and people's response are strange, unique. They'll say, they'll pick out the kurta, they'll pick out the beard, or they've got a kurta, kurta wallahs don't have any trust in them. People that got daris and all, don't respect them. Because they just got a guise. It's just a pretext. And then the kurtawala, he will then run down the next person. And he will tell, these people, you are taking me for a ride. They are thinking that I got a kurta and I got a beard. So I'm a gullible person, I'm a simpleton. So he's insulting him and he's insulting him. So both are not winning. And a Muslim must be a winner at any time. The kurta wala must be also a winner, and the person that is not in the kurta, he also must be a winner. But then the lifestyle of Rasulullah will show how to be a winner. To come onto the defense is quite easy. I am right, he's wrong. I am right because it's me, therefore I am right. And he's wrong is because him. Because it's him, therefore it's wrong. So that's not the way. So what was the style of Rasulullah? Look in this one hadith. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to Umar radiallahu anhu, myself as well as him, both of us, we required better counseling. You could have told me that I should be more prompt in my payments. Payments I need to do, I never make a flaw. Obviously, it's a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. So there was never a flaw. But I could have been even better. Although I was good, but I could have been even better in my payments. And you could have counseled him in this way, that he could have been more gentle and considerate when he made the demand. Now look at the style of Rasulullah SAW. What he's showing to us, that when there is a situation, then rather to come to our defense, or the defense of the institute, or the personality, or the business, then we need to see within ourselves, we need to retrospect, am I wrong as well? This was the style of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the style of the Sahaba ikram, and the style of the pious of the past. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sends an army, and he doesn't hear any good news that's forthcoming. So immediately, what is his response? His response is, perhaps meri kamzori hai. Varna batil haq ke samne kis tarah se qaim reh sakta hai. He says that it is perhaps my kamzori, my weakness. Otherwise, batil cannot stand before haq. This batil standing before haq is because of my weakness, and I need to make istighfar, I need to make tawbah. Had Umar radiallahu anhu, in his zamana, he is sending on jamaat in a certain direction, and there is no good news that is coming forth. So Umar radiallahu anhu says to them that there is some kamzori, there is a weakness within you, and you need to address, is addressing the Amir, that you need to address your people, perhaps there is a kamzori, there is a weakness within you. They check within themselves, they say, yes, there is a flaw, and the flaw is within our niyat. Our niyat was for some material gains. It was not purely for Islam. So we need to correct our intention. And the moment they correct the intention, and one day is too much for their victory. Just a matter of correction and correction of the intention. And brothers, when we hear this, it is not no fairy tale. A'malukum ummalukum. The authenticity of the hadith is a different thing. But it is an accepted fact. It is an accepted fact. Look at Surah Noon. Allah Ta'ala speaks about a people very prosperous. Very, very prosperous. A lengthy story. It was the last bayan that I had heard of Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with Noor. So he says that it was some children, they had inherited the property of their father. After they have inherited the property of the father, then they thought within themselves, our father was an old-fashioned person, outdated, old-fashioned, he didn't know what he was doing. Because one-tenth of his entire earnings, he was giving it out in charity, one-tenth. Imagine it was 100 million rands every year, he's giving out 10 million. It's a big amount. So our father was outdated, olden days, he doesn't know what he was doing. And now we have got different taqazas, different needs. We have got children, we have got wives, we have got added responsibilities. We no more just one small family now, we have broad, big family. So we need to think about all our dependents. There they changed their niyat. They said, no. We will go into the orchard and we will harvest everything before the poor can come. And we won't share anything with them. We won't share anything with them. They leave from their homes into the orchard to find the orchards to be burnt out, complete, unrecognized. They can't even beyond recognition. Just a change of niyat, and Allah Ta'ala brings about that destruction and that distraught to them. Just the change of the niyat. A'malukum ummalukum again. So a Muslim must be a winner in any given situation. If there is a situation, then I look within myself. Perhaps I have faltered, I have made a mistake anyway. And what is the fault? Let me go and correct myself. Rather than saying, oh, this person is the fault, he is a spanner in the works, or he's causing a problem, he's causing a fight. Rather than doing that, let me look within myself. Perhaps the fault lies within me. So now this Jabir ibn Sulaym radiallahu anhu, these are excellent advisors. You can't even get this type of advice from a philosopher. He's a man that is seen beyond and beyond his seen. So he asks for even more advice. Rasulullah SAW tells him, لا تحقيرن من المعروف شيئا وإن تلقى أخاك بوجه تلق. And good deeds, no matter how small it may be, don't consider it to be insignificant. Perhaps that may be the catalyst to your jannat. that one small little neki that you have done, that may be the reason for your jannah. So don't consider any small deed as insignificant. It happens to us sometimes, we aspire to do the greater works, and the smaller deeds thereafter, we totally neglect them. Like coming to the masjid respectfully, humbly, with tawazu and with humility, calmly, composed, sitting in the first lines, with all due respects. Sometimes we forget these type of sunnahs, and we only think about the bigger. But what Nabi Sallam wants us to do is that we are showing equal respect to the smaller aspects like we show respect to the bigger. Al Muqassim Naluti rahmatullahi says that there was a non-Muslim in my neighborhood. He lived a non-Muslim, as far as I remember, that he died as a non-Muslim. I see him in my dream after he's dead, I see him in Jannat. So I tell him, Lalaji, what are you doing here? How you found your place here in Jannat? Normally, as a matter of respect, the Hindu is called Lalaji. Lalaji, what are you doing here? He said, no. What happened was, some weeks before I could die, Allah Ta'ala blessed me with Iman. But because of my family pressure, etc., then I just concealed my Iman. I didn't advertise it. So Mawlana asked him, but how did it happen? How did you get into Islam? He says, no, Allah Ta'ala blessed me in this way, that my child was eating openly in the month of Ramadan. Whilst the Muslims were at fast, they were in the fasting season, and my child was eating openly. So I slapped my child, and I told him, be adab, sharam nahi hai. You don't have any respect for these people? Don't you know that they are fasting? Can't you show some respect and some type of consideration for them? For the respect that I shown, 3-4 weeks before I had died, Allah Ta'ala blessed me with Iman. I recited the kalima, and the kalima was on my lips, and I died with the kalima, therefore you see me in Jannah today. So these small little deeds that we consider as insignificant, we don't consider them as insignificant. We do not know which could be the catalyst, the reason for our Jannah. In the hadith, again, you see these type of incidents are replete. Person is giving water to a thirsty dog and is getting his Jannah. Don't we read that hadith? Person that's being good and kind towards the neighbors, and she's getting a Jannah just because of this kindness. And on the contrary, there is another woman that is a little bit aggressive towards a cat, and she kills the cat with aggression and hostility, and she's getting into Jahannam. So this act of hostility, aggression, etc., really Allah Ta'ala doesn't appreciate that. When we look at the hadith, etc., and we see many people, most people gain the Jannah, etc., either on account of some act of kindness, tolerance, endurance, or some type of respect that they had shown to some Islamic characteristics, some Islamic behavior. Person is got a topi, a dari. Now we don't run the person down. As it is, we don't have it. When we don't have it, we don't run the person down. We should think the other way around. This person has got it. Maybe he's better than me. May Allah Ta'ala make my zahir like his zahir. His zahir is conforming to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So let my zahir also be like his zahir. But the person that's got the dari, he must think for that other person that doesn't conform. He must think to himself, perhaps this person's batin may be better. Within his heart, he may be better. He may be having some very good gems within him. And I don't know what's in him. So I will only respect him for the imani good that he's got in his heart. I will respect him. I will not despise him. I will not run him down. I will not disgrace him. I will not embarrass him. Yes, I will invite him towards the sunnah. I will not compromise. I cannot praise him for the wrong that he's doing, for the wrong dressing that he has, or not keeping the beard. I will not praise him, but by the same token, I will not embarrass him, I will not disgrace him, I will not despise him. Perhaps he's got some good. That good just needs to be tapped. It's tapped one day, maybe it will just surface and he will overtake us. So, Rasulullah is cautioning the Sahabi, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. That good deeds, no matter how insignificant they may seem to be, but don't consider them to be insignificant. You made salam. What a small deed. It sounds like a very small thing. But do you know what the salam, a small little salam, a greeting, the dynamite that is packaged within that salam. In the salam, a small little deed, but what a dynamite is packaged within this. One is that You have reminded your brother of Allah Ta'ala, because salam is the name of Allah Ta'ala. So can there be a person that is better than one that reminds you of Allah Ta'ala? He's conscientized you of Allah Ta'ala. Can there be a person better than that? There can't be any person that is better than the one that reminds you than the best. The one that reminds you of the greatest is the greatest. He reminds you of Allah Ta'ala, so he's conscientizing you. Number two is this, that it is also an extension of love. You have extended a symbol of love. And to love, for Muslims to love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is an important ingredient of Islam. وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّ. Your iman is incomplete. You grudge the person, despiting the person, trying to run him down, find his faults for no apparent reason, then really we are deficient. Our iman is not right. So iman requires that we love the person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that iman to be complete. For the sake of Allah ta'ala, whatever it is, our differences is a different thing altogether, but for the sake of Allah ta'ala, I love the person. وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّ. Then again, the salam. What you are saying to your brother when you're making salam to him, anta aminu minni. That remember, I'm giving you this assurance that you will not be hurt. I will not hurt you. I will not inconvenience you verbally, mentally, physically, emotionally. I will not hurt you in any way. That I'm giving you my assurance that I will not hurt you in any way. But so much of a dynamite packed up in the small greeting. But this is the blessings and the miracle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, small little things, what good is packaged in it. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. I feel to myself that if we make salam from now onwards, but with these things in mind, that this is what salam contains, I don't think there should be a dispute. I don't think there could be a fight. The fight is because we don't keep this thing, we don't conscientize ourselves. If we conscientize ourselves, there's no dispute, there's no problem. Anyway, this sahabi is again asking for some more advice. So Nabi Sallam says, make sure that your trouser don't go below your ankle. Don't let it flow below your ankle. Again, we cannot run down the person that is getting his outward right. The zahir is getting right, and that rectifying that right, rectifying that zahir and that outward, is a teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we are running that person down for his dari, for his beard, or for his kurta, or for having his pants above his ankles, really this is being directed to that personality that showed it to us. He is the personality that asked us to do it. And imagine this was the first encounter, the first sitting with a new Muslim. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is this, see, your trouser mustn't be below your ankle. He said, now let him come into Islam, and gradually you will tell him. In that first encounter, Rasulullah has won his confidence, won his love, and he's saying it to him. And the last advice that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him, says, that if anybody embarrasses you for the faults that he knows about you, he taunts you, he embarrasses you, he runs you down about the faults that he knows about you. Now you came into Jamaat, for example, and someone knows your history. Ah, you know what we used to be hanging around there, the corners and all that. Now he talks to you about your past. And the past, what he's talking about or he's alluding towards, is true. So he's embarrassing you about the wrongs that he knows about your past. Then you don't embarrass him about the wrongs that you know of his past. فَإِنَّ وَبَالَهُ عَلَيْهِ لَا عَلَيْهِ. Because the consequence of this, he's taunting you, he's embarrassing you, he's disgracing you, he's running you down, then the consequence will be on his head, not on your head. So why must you be a loser? A mu'min must always be a loser. He must always be a winner. He can't be a loser for a single moment. May Allah Ta'ala grant us that tawfiq, that is Mubarak, excellent teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We introduce it in our lives.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.